We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And Pete Futek of CollegeFootballNews.com joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. All right, Pete, a bit of controversy in the last segment about whether this week is a good schedule or not for college football. What say you?
Every week's a good schedule for college football.
We get it. But
that's right. That's right, Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Not every dinner can be your favorite. You can't eat pizza every night. But it's all right. I mean, there's a couple of good ones. Compared to last week, if game day is in Lincoln, Nebraska for Ohio State, Nebraska, you know it's a bad week. So compared to last week, this week's pretty good.
How does he know that pizza's your favorite food? Yeah,
okay, fine. So, vegan tofu burgers or something. Whatever.
Vegan tofu.
Pete, I was saying that pizza is Bull's favorite food.
Is there another kind? Yeah.
Definitely pizza.
All
right, so what is the best game? What's the best game to you this week? It's the Auburn-Florida game?
Yeah, that's probably the one, mainly because you got the two unbeaten SEC teams. It's not necessarily an elimination game, but it kind of is. It's a bigger deal for Auburn than it is for Florida. If Florida loses, it's fine because it's still got to play LSU and it can win that one. And then it's got to deal with Georgia. But it can lose this and still run the table and be okay. Auburn still has got that Alabama thing to deal with, still has LSU to deal with, still has a couple other nasty games to deal with. So it's a big game for both, but we kind of get to see which one is really still on the hunt for the college football playoff world. And it only adds further. If it's a good game between both teams and both teams look good, that just kind of cements the idea that the SEC just has all the good top-heavy teams. And maybe at the end, there's going to be an interesting theoretical fight about how do you not include two SEC teams this year or maybe even two Big Ten teams, depending on how things will shake out with Wisconsin, compared to what, say, Clemson has to do this year and how it's been looking so far and what it does and doesn't have to play along the way.
To that point, I mean, we often see SEC heavy near the top, but this year's particularly ridiculous, Pete, right? Five teams, four in the top seven, five in the top ten. Are they all really worthy, or is the SEC like the American League in baseball, where there's that total haves and have-nots and no middle?
It seems like that, although the middle might be Missouri this year, but it's kind of hard to sell that when you've got a loss to Wyoming on the schedule. But you're right. Ole Miss is bad. Arkansas is bad. Mississippi State's just eh. Kentucky's just sort of eh. So you're right. It is sort of a have and have not sort of thing. But those teams at the top are absolute killers. I mean, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. I mean, LSU already proved itself by going to Texas and winning. Georgia already proved itself by beating a Notre Dame team that's probably going to go 11-1. And if it was in the ACC this year, might actually win the conference or else come second to Clemson. Alabama, we yet have to see what it has to do against the big boy, but it is Alabama and Auburn. They beat Oregon. And I think Oregon probably is just that good. So the SEC's got some good teams at the top. I think the Pac-12 as the season goes on, is going to get more and more love and respect. I still kind of contend that Oregon-Washington winner is going to end up being 12-1 and is going to be deep in the hunt for the college football playoff discussion.
All right, Pete. Let's talk Iowa and Michigan. This is my intriguing matchup. I can't wait to watch this one tomorrow. It's an early kickoff at the Big House, Iowa coming to town. Michigan's still favored in this game, but Michigan has underperformed, obviously, to this point this season. Who's winning this game?
Yeah, underperformed. I'm still on the Michigan belief system. I need an intervention on this because the pieces are there. They don't have the lines. They're not blasting away on anyone. It's not going to be the most physical of Michigan teams. It doesn't have the defense of last year, but they've got NFL caliber receivers, and Shea Patterson's a veteran quarterback who the passing game should be better. If Michigan needs to win. I mean, they just need a win in this one. Wisconsin game, okay, fine. Bad game, bad day against a team that was ultra jacked up. Iowa's just sort of an okay, good team. That if you're Michigan at home, you lose this one, and you still have Michigan State, you still got Penn State, you still got Ohio State, then it's uh-oh time in terms of your season. So I do think Michigan pulls this one off. It's going to be a tight, fun battle, but I think the Wolverines do it. But take that with a grain of salt because, like I said, I'm kind of way too into Michigan this year being better than it probably is.
I don't really care about Wisconsin playing Kent State this weekend. They'll smoke that game and win handily. But Wisconsin still looks like one of the most dominant teams in the country with their running attack and that defense that they play. Are they a top four team in your mind right now?
Yeah, not quite yet. In terms of this game, obviously Kent State, they're going to win this game. It is a good scrimmage for them in a couple of different ways, only because the Kent State flash fast offense, they throw. So the thing that we still kind of need to see about Wisconsin is, all right, what happens if you do start to throw against this group? Because Michigan couldn't do it until late, and then all of a sudden it started to click, but it was way too late by then. And we want to see Wisconsin's passing game sharp. This is one of those games where if Wisconsin really is right, Jack Cohn goes out there and goes like 18 of 20, you know, and just kind of takes target practice and just it's a razor sharp game. Jonathan Taylor has 120 yards in the first half and then sits. You want to see them kind of bounce back from a mediocre day against Northwestern because their passing game has got to be better if they're going to beat Michigan State next week.
We're talking with Pete Futek of College Football News. Pete, you know, you mentioned the Pac-12. We've talked about the SEC, a little bit about the Big Ten. You mentioned Clemson, though, briefly. Let's get back to them. Is Clemson overrated considering their competition in the ACC?
Yeah, I always kind of like it. When everyone says, is somebody overrated or underrated? The response is always, okay, you know, who's rating them? Well, the polls are rating them. So they're absolutely overrated. Like, here's the thing. If you were to replace the brand name of Clemson with Wake Forest, and if we're supposed to do polls based on just this season, last year doesn't exist, we don't know anything about 44-16, we know nothing about anything that happens except this year, and that was Wake Forest or Duke or someone other than Clemson, it's probably ranked 10th right now. And that's just it's a great team, obviously. It's going to go 13-0, but it's going to go 13-0 with an ACC championship without a win over a team that's probably going to be ranked in late November. So it's got nothing compared to what the other big boys have to do. I mean, look, Alabama, all those SEC teams, they got to play each other. Ohio State's got to play Wisconsin maybe twice and obviously go through the Big Ten East schedule. They went to Nebraska, which is better than pretty much anything Clemson has done so far, except, all right, they took out Texas A&M, which is nice. And they got nothing. They have no schedule. So if we're dogging UCF over the last 2 years and saying, you know, UCF, you're not really invited to this party because your schedule stinks, then what's this for Clemson? With that said, 13-0 Clemson is absolutely, no question about it, no debate, going to get into the college football playoff. 12-1 Clemson with this schedule, they don't get in. I mean, there's just going to be too much traffic in front of them by a bunch of teams. They're going to play a whole bunch of tougher schedules and slates. So you're going to have the Alabama LSU loser, which is probably going to have a complaint. Let's say Ohio State and Wisconsin in some way both split their games against each other if Wisconsin gets the Big Ten championship, and they both end up at 12-1. They'll both have an argument. So there's going to be a lot of teams out there potentially that are going to have a whole lot better resume than Clemson will. So if the college football playoff rankings were to come out right now just for this week, as opposed to the AP and college coaches polls, college football playoff rankings, according to their metrics and the way they'd look at it, they would probably have Clemson ranked 6th or 7th.
Pete Futek's with this College Football News. Pete, I was concerned about Penn State, how they were going to replace Trace McSorley. Sean Clifford's done a pretty nice job for them this season. They're undefeated. They're ranked, obviously, pretty high. Yet I don't know how legit Penn State is. How legit are they?
I still don't know. You know, and there's a good chance that Maryland just sucks. And look, they blew out Syracuse, and it seemed like, wow, look out. They led the nation in scoring. This offense looked amazing. Everything was working. The pass rush was great. And then they couldn't do anything against Temple. And then they come out in this big showcase game at home. They had the blackout in the stadium. Everyone's supposed to be psyched up. And Penn State just blows their doors off. I'm not there yet in saying Penn State's up there with, you know, the Michigans and Michigan States. They're probably still the 4th best team in the East. But certainly if they can play like that and keep improving, they're going to be right there. James Franklin just does not get a – you want to talk about the overrated and underrated. Underrated continues to be James Franklin. All this guy does is keep winning 9 or more games every year. And he's got another team, again, that's young. It's going to get a lot better. Next year's team's going to be really strong. And he's still getting it done. That team still keeps winning. I think Penn State and Auburn are kind of in the same boat, where they're both good. They can both beat anybody. They could beat Ohio State. Auburn could beat Alabama. They just can't get through the schedule anything less than probably 10-2-ish.
I know it's weird, but I can't, like, maybe it's not weird. I don't know, because it's so disgusting. Every time Penn State gets brought up, I still think about what happened there. I don't know how the players that go there don't think about that all the time. And, you know, obviously they have good teams, so they're not struggling to recruit. But am I in the minority here? You think everybody's still thinking about it every time Penn State gets mentioned?
My child will never go to Penn State University. I can't ever sort of get past. There's a difference, though, between not liking the players and coach. I like James Franklin. He's a good guy.
Sure.
I've always enjoyed, you know, hanging out with him. The players are too young at this point to really know or notice or remember. But there's just that fan base still. Do you know that there's that element there that I just kind of can't get past? But I am not you're not totally crazy. I'm still sort of with you. There's sort of that part of me that if Penn State loses on a given day, I'm not going to be torn up about it.
Pete Futek's our guest, College Football News. Pete, you know, Tennessee is just a dumpster fire right now. Coach Pruitt even had a player, I think, get arrested this week. He gets a phone call from the police, and he's like, "Why'd you have to arrest him?" Well, because there was a warrant out for his arrest. What do you think is going to happen there in Knoxville?
It's a mess, and I kind of thought Pruitt would be the right guy if he was given a lot of time. I'm not going to say he's Kirby Smart, but he's that kind of fiery recruiter. I like him because he is the absolute most straightest possible shooter you could find. If he has a thought in his head, he will let you know it, and that's kind of all you want a lot of times out of coaches. But it's not working. It's not, for whatever reason, they don't have the talent there, but you still can't blame that. You know, you don't lose to Georgia State. You don't lose to BYU like that. If they won those two games, there'd be a different narrative right now. But the fact that they're getting crushed in these games, if they were just competitive or close against Florida a couple weeks ago, that'd be kind of a different story. They need just something positive. They need some sort of identity that they can build on. They can say, okay, yeah, I get it now. They're the team that does this. They just don't really have any of that right now. They don't have a lot of talent compared to the other top SEC teams. And the problem is right now in the East, this is the time to kind of do it. South Carolina's not that great. Vanderbilt, Kentucky's Kentucky. So if you're Tennessee, this would be kind of the year, and it's not happening.
Pete, last thing, big story this week, California passing a law that, you know, basically is going to allow players that play in California to make money off their likeness. It's absurd to me that players can't do it. I think this will, you know, doesn't take effect for a few years. I think this is going to force the NCAA to act. Do you believe they will and will allow players across the country to make money off their own likeness?
It's the answer, and I've said this for 20
years.
This is I am not for schools paying players like a salary only because of the logistical parts of it. Between all the different aspects, because the arms race that you know would happen. You think schools have a problem right now with their buyouts with coaches? What happens if you have to buy out a quarterback that turns out to be a bust? And so I'm kind of against that. I'm all for anybody who wants to give these players money, okay. And so the argument against it continues to be, well, what happens when Jim Bob Booster wants to pay? Yeah, fine, okay. The biggest beneficiary of this, and this is where it's going to be interesting to see how fast the schools can adapt to this. Because if you're, for example, the state of Oregon, I am shoving this legislation through as fast as humanly possible, because if I'm Oregon and I've got Phil Knight as my benefactor, you want to talk about the ultimate recruiting advantage. Come to Oregon and you get a shoe. You know, you get we will do a Nike campaign around you. There are so many different ways you could do this if you were a big school with big tie-ins to various corporate entities it's the answer. It's the way it should happen. And I know there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing and screaming, yelling, oh, the amateurism, oh, the children, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, nonsense.
But again, my response is always, look, if you really love amateur sports and that really matters to you, I guarantee you there's a Division III school pretty much within driving distance. Go watch that, because that's not what major college football is at this point.
Exactly. It's such a joke. I heard Gene Smith of Ohio State, you know, talking about how it's going to be, you know, unfair to the small schools like the Big Ten schools care about, like Kent State and Miami of Ohio are really competing for the same players now with Ohio State.
It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite because Kent State will never compete for the college football playoff. But let's say they have some goofy, bored, billionaire booster who decides all of a sudden, you know what, I want Kent State to be awesome. Hey, you're going to, you great quarterback, you're going to represent this, you know, Chevy dealership, and you're going to get this Coca-Cola deal, and you and
you never know.
It out that
That's
way.
Right.
Now you got a chance.
Absolutely. Pete, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, guys. Have a great one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.